So I want to talk a little bit about 2017 as we look ahead. I think somebody already said that we're passionate about certain things. Let me tell you what I'm really, really passionate about. I'm passionate about God being on the throne. Because when you look at our world, you look what's happening around us, it can be a little scary, it can be a little disconcerting. Whatever side of the aisle you're on, whatever your hope is, if it's in anything other than God being on the throne, you're a little bit off kilter right now. There's some things that are just not stable. Thank you, guys. Thank you. But when you look at the throne in heaven, there's something very familiar going on in heaven. God is still sitting on the throne. And at his right hand is his son, Jesus. And there is coming a day, and I'm going to announce the date tonight because I'm, as a joke, I'm not going to announce the date because no man knows the day or the hour. But what we do know is that Jesus promised that the Father in his time would say, "Son, go get your bride." And he's going to go get his bride. And there's nothing that can happen politically, socially, economically, in any realm of man that can stop that from happening. Well, we must be just thinking about dinner. So I'm really excited. I'm very passionate that Jesus is sitting on the throne. The Father is on his throne, and we are in his care. And his plan remains intact. His mission for the church, for his son's bride, remains intact. Amen? That's not going to change. And so when you walk in, you'll see we're here to raise up passionate followers of Jesus who live by faith, are known by love, and are a voice of hope. When I'm out and about and people say, "Well, what are you doing at Crossroads? What's your church all about?" I have the same answer every time. What are you guys doing? We're making disciples. Why are you making disciples? Because Jesus wants disciples. And I want to encourage you that should be the end of it for us. That's all that I need to know, that Jesus wants disciples. He wants disciples so he's so deeply in love with his creation, and he wants disciples. He was willing to come and give his life, to sacrifice his life on the cross, to be buried, to be resurrected from the dead so that he could have disciples. He could have brothers and sisters in the family of God. We know that without that, it's impossible, right? There is no other way to enter the family of God except through the work of Christ on the cross. No? Matt's yawning. He thinks, you know, it's like... Jesus wants disciples. That's why we do what we do, and so the mission will remain the same. You've seen the strategy that's hanging behind me on the wall, the engage, the empower, the equip, and encourage. We'll talk a little bit more about that tonight in just a minute, but we're going to give ourselves to that as a church. We're going to continue to make disciples. Whatever happens in our world, our mission is not going to change. We will never, whether we have a building or not, or whatever, if we have staff or not, whatever the circumstances are, we will not walk away from the mission that Jesus has given his church to make disciples. We will not walk away from the mission that Jesus has given his church to make disciples. Amen. Amen. No matter how tough it gets. Now, we recognize it can be challenging. And so if you look at the thing that just came around, this roadmap, if you will, it's got a map on it. This is our focus for 2017. We want to, with God's help, with the Holy Spirit's work, as a church, we want to become family strong. We'll talk about that through the course of this year. I'm going to talk a little bit tonight. We want, when we say family strong, we mean that we want to be strong disciples, disciples that are going deep and wide, that are putting down roots, that we're growing in an understanding of who Jesus is, that we're growing in an understanding of who Jesus says that we are, that we would grow deep and strong as disciples who live by faith, are known by love, and are a voice of hope in the dark world that God's placed us in. That's what it means to be family strong. What does that look like for a family? Two parents and three kids. What does that look like for a single person? What does that look like for a teenager? What does it look like for a single parent? What does it look like for old people? You know, what does it look, sorry. You know, whatever place in life, what does it look like for us to be family strong in the circles that he's put us? And what does it look like for Crossroads? Because that's what we are. We're a church family. What does it look like for us to be family strong? So what you have in your hand is kind of the roadmap on Sunday mornings. You see there our teaching plan. You see that we're going strong, right? And we're in the book of Acts, and we're going to finish out the book of Acts. And then you'll see we're going to go into Philippians, and we're going to go through Colossians, and we're going to go through Ephesians this year. And you see the focuses there. And if you look at it, you'll see that there's 3 months where we're really zooming in on engage. That's where we're at right now. We're seeing the Apostle Paul engage. We're learning from him. And then you'll see that we're going to zoom in on empower, and we're going to really look at our identity in Christ. Because if you don't get clarity on who Jesus says you are, nothing else is going to come together for you spiritually. You have to get to where you and I can agree with Jesus when he says, this is who I say you are. Not the world, not the people in your life sometimes, not the media, not the television, not the government, but who does Jesus say you are in him? That's where empowerment comes from. That's where the power to live as a follower of Christ will come from, is knowing who Jesus says that you are and then living out that identity. And then we're going to zoom in on equip, and we're going to put down some deep roots, some wide roots, putting down roots, growing deep and wide in Christ. And then we're going to look at what it looks like to be encouraged, and we're going to look at the book of Philippians, and that there really is joy in the journey. Here's the reality. Don't raise your hand, but here's the reality. So many followers of Jesus have lost their joy. Life has beat them up, and life is tough, and circumstances are challenging. And you know what? Our world is not what it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Our lives are not what they were. I'm 55. My life, I can't do what I used to do. I shouldn't be doing what I was doing that caused this. My life has changed, and life will do that if we're not careful. The enemy will allow life, he'll use life to suck the joy right out of you and me as followers of Jesus. And if there's anybody on this planet that should be living in joy, it should be the followers of Jesus Christ. Amen, church? For here and for eternity. And there really is joy in the journey that God has put us on in this life. If we would stop and recognize what he has done for us and what he is doing for us. And so the last 3 months of the year, we're gonna zoom in on that. You see there, too, there's some big moments in our calendar this year. You see them there down at the bottom. There's some things that you need to plan ahead for. The next one that's coming up, you'll see on there's momentum. There's a table in the back. You can stop by the table tonight. It'll be there tomorrow as well, during and before and after our service. We got that coming up in a couple of months where we call the Church of Carmichael together to move ahead together here in Carmichael, because we want Jesus to be made great in this town, this community that he's put us in, not just in Crossroads, but in this community. And so we're calling the churches to come together for a couple of days. And Thursday night is a night of prayer. Friday night is a night of teaching and worship and some fun. We have this celebrity host coming in. Pastor Matt's going to host our family feud, and it's a truckload of fun. And then on Saturday, we have teaching times and breakouts and communion together as the body of Christ in Carmichael. So you want to, I encourage you, you really want to be a part of that. But you see what's on there. You see some things that are coming up, and I encourage you to take a look at those things that are coming up. Our focus, our theme, is Family Strong. 2016, our focus, our goal was to be able to pronounce, declare clearly that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, that we'd be able to confidently and clearly communicate that and live with that truth. This year, we're taking steps, and we're going to be intentional as we go through this year to become Family Strong. We want to produce disciples at all ages, at all stages of life. Would you agree with me that our children, some of you here and our teenagers, need to be discipled? They need deep roots. Amen. If they're going to live with joy and they're going to live and be a light, faith, love, and hope in the world that God's put us in, come on. Amen. We need to disciple our children. They need to know who Jesus is, and they need to know who Jesus says that they are. I struggle sometimes with anger when I'm interacting with our culture and I hear the message that our culture is telling our kids, what they're saying to our children as to who they are, their identity, where it's found. Because it's a lie. Amen. It's a lie with devastating consequences. The truth is they are precious and they are unique and they are created in the image of God. And he knows each and every one of them in their uniqueness from the moment they were, before they were conceived. But through the time in the womb, he was absolutely intimate, understanding who they are in every day of their life. Amen? Amen? We need to disciple our children. What about the old people like me? Do we need to be discipled? wait, let's do it again. Yeah, my other one. So Family Strong. We're going to walk through this year with the goal of becoming Family Strong. Now, I need help handing out some more. Can you tell that our copier lease is up, and so we have a week of all the color printing we can do? So, if you're under six, you have what you said? Under 60. Here, give half to her right there. Thank you guys for your help. So, what's coming around now is some things that are familiar and then some new things for you. As you get, start on the page that has the 2017 on the front. It's a two-page doc. Well, there's 2017 on the back too. The red 2017. That's where I want you to start. So up at the top, you'll see our strategy, the words here behind us that we really believe find their home in Matthew 28, where Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and remember this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so we find engage, empower, equip, and encourage in those words. And so our strategy in making disciples, no matter what age, what stage of life we're in, is that we're going to engage every moment with the Father's story. Do you realize that the enemy is telling a narrative right now? Thank you. And there's a very real danger that you or the people around you that you love, certainly the people you work with and you live next door to and you in our society, they're listening to that narrative. They're listening to the story that the enemy is telling. Meanwhile, God has given us the truth. He's given us the true narrative of who God is and who we are and why we're here and what he has for us. And it's very different from the narrative that the enemy is telling. Where do we find that narrative? We find that narrative in the Word of God. We find it in the written Word. We also find it in the living Word, in the incarnation of God himself coming to earth and living among us. Would you say amen to that? Amen. That we have Jesus. And so we want to engage every moment, thank you guys, every moment with the Father's story. Anything we face, anything we walk through, whatever goes on in life, the Father's story addresses it, and it's relevant to that moment. We want to empower each soul with a new identity in Jesus. That's why Jesus came. Sin says that you're condemned and that you're headed for an eternity separated from God in a place that God created for Satan and his demons that he pulled along with him. That's what sin does, right? The wages of sin is death. But Jesus says, John 3:16, right? We know that verse very well, that the Father sent him because the Father loved the world, loves the world. And that whoever believes in him would not perish, be eternally separated from God, but spend eternity with God, starting today, starting now in this life. That's the identity that Jesus gives us. It's an identity of forgiveness. It's an identity of grace and mercy. It's an identity of new life, of regeneration. It's an identity of spiritual gifts, is it not? It's an identity that I am now part of a family. I'm part of a body. You with me, or are you reading what's on the paper? Some of you are reading ahead. Kelly's reading ahead. I can see her. This takes me back to junior high ministry days. Sorry. Are you agreeing with me that he's given us this new identity, and that's where the power to live in this world comes from? It's our identity in Christ, and so we will empower each soul. This is a strategy to make disciples. We will equip the disciples, those who put their faith in Jesus, to grow deep and wide, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And then we will encourage the church to move together as one in the Spirit, or in the Spirit as one. See, Jesus said, I want you to go, but know this, I will go with you. Didn't he say that? And then he promised he was going to, when he left, he would send the Comforter, and he would come, and the Spirit lives in us. And so that you're familiar with, that's our strategy. There's seven investments below that. You've seen these before. These, we believe, are where we need to focus our strategy and where we need to invest our time, our energy, our resources. We brought these out, I think, in 2013. We've tweaked them a little bit, but these seven areas, we've just seen that these are the areas where we really need to focus if we're going to thrive as a church, and we're going to be effective as a church and become the church he intends us to be. And so you see them there, worshiping God, walking in the power, love, and sound judgment of the Spirit, creating a culture that engages, empowers, equips, and encourages our children and youth to follow Jesus, to be passionate followers of Jesus, to raise up leaders. We need leaders, you guys. It's that simple. To do anything, to impact people, you need leadership. You need spiritual leaders, people that will lead at home, in their marriages, in their families, in their neighborhoods, at church, in their workplace. We need leaders. We need to raise them up. We want to use our small groups, our e-groups, to build specific things in our church body. Do you see them listed there? We want to see maturity, we want to see unity, and we want to see productivity. Those are three essential aspects to being a follower of Christ, is that you're growing in maturity, that you are living in unity with the body of Christ, and that you're producing fruit. Amen. Isn't that what God created us to do? Isn't that what he promised he would do through the Spirit? That he would produce fruit. You're all meant to be fruitful, all of us, in the body of Christ. Partnering with other churches. We believe the church is to be one. That is, those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. We have brothers and sisters that gather in other buildings. We do. They look different than us. Some of them even speak different languages than us. Not all of them. Some of them. Most of them. Some of them have one arm. We want to see if they love Jesus, they are brothers and sisters in Christ. They are his disciples and our brothers and sisters. We want to partner with churches. You'll see that happen at the Freedom Celebration. You'll see that happen at Momentum. You'll see it happen at the Movies in the Park. You'll see it. We switch pulpits, if you will. We trade pulpits and preach at different locations. And then we want to design every part of this campus to lift up Jesus for others to see. We believe this campus is a big campus, and sometimes it feels like a lot of work. That's the truth. But it's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. You know how we have this campus? We have this campus through the giving of God's people. How did the temple operate in the Old Testament? The giving of God's people. How did the priests eat? The giving of God's people. How did they build the temple? The giving of God's people. How did they operate their system of worship? At one point, they had 5,000 paid Levites as instrumentalists. Who paid for their living? The giving of the people of God. We have what we have because those before and presently, we give to God, and this is a gift from God. It is. It's a gift from God. When Andrew talks about giving, that's what this is. This is what God does with it. And so we want to use this gift from God to draw people to Jesus. That's why we have various churches that speak other languages that are gathering here. That's why we have meetings throughout the month. People use this campus to draw people to Jesus. When the kids meet, we want to draw people to Jesus. When we gather to worship on Sunday mornings, we want to draw people to Jesus. We want to get to where every space in this campus has been designed and is being used to draw people to Jesus. I hope we're on board with that. That's what I believe we're going to give an account to God one day. What did you do with what I gave you? Now, on the bottom of that page, the front page, there's some goals. Now, I'm going to be straight up with you guys. I'm learning how to set goals. Last year, how many did I present last year? 700 is what it felt like. I think it was 20-something or 30-something. It was too many. So be patient with me. This is something that is for me, but it's a journey that I'm going through. And I spent some time with God over the last couple of months just saying, God, just help me dream. I want to dream with you and for you. What could we do with you, God? We can do nothing without him. But if we're in alignment with you and we understand your heart and we're with you, what could we do for you that would give you joy, that would bring pleasure to you and glorify you? And so here's some goals that I've grappled with and put down on paper, and I want to share with us as a church family. We're recording this tonight, so if you know somebody that's not here, they can go back and they can listen to this. Engage in conversation with the leadership and with one another around these goals. Make sure they're clear, and then we can talk how we each of us can contribute to reaching these goals in 2017. The first one is I want to engage and empower 12 new leaders. Not people that are already leading, but new leaders in 2017. 12. Now, it's just that you say, well, nothing magical about 12. That's just my dream. That's the goal. Can we identify and equip and raise up and empower 12 new leaders to lead in ministry, to lead in people's lives? Number two, expand our leadership team, doubling our deacon team and developing our deaconesses. We want to develop a team of deaconesses that serve alongside of the deacons, and we need to expand our deacon team. Andrew and Michael and Nate and Randy. We have 4 deacons right now. Even a church of this size, it's not enough. We need to identify who God has stirred in to serve in that leadership way, because that's what's going to make us healthy. It's also, if we don't do it, it's what's going to constrict our growth. It's going to hinder our growth. We need a healthy team of deacons that can lead us in serving. They don't do all the serving. They lead us in the serving. You get that? They call us along, and they direct us, and they encourage us, and they lead us. They set the example for us on what it looks like to serve the needs of the body. And so our goal this year is to expand. I would love to double the deacon team and develop a deaconess team and come alongside. Number three, grow our giving to $18,000 a month. Now, let me be clear the goal there. You say our budget is $19,000 and change. We have rental income that comes in, and then we have giving income that comes in that we are gifts to God. And I'm talking about that part. The rental is what it is, what God does with that. He uses that, right? He does. It's a blessing from him. But I'm talking about us as a church family. I'm confident we can do this. Now, I don't know what anybody gives. What I do know on a piece of paper with numbers. I know, like, how many of our members, say we have 50 members, 35 are giving consistently, or I know that kind of thing. Regular tenders, this many of them are giving, but we have this many that aren't giving really anything. There is room for growth. Now, when I say that, it's between you. We'll talk more about the amounts later, but just let me say this. I don't want to ask you what you give. I don't believe that it's my business what Pam gives, but I do believe it's my business to say, Pam, are you giving? Are you giving to God? Is God first in your finances? So when I look at that sheet and I say, well, we've got this percentage of our family, they're not giving anything. That's where the room for growth is. Because all of us should be giving something to God, whatever we determine with Him. And so there's room for growth. And I really believe we can reach this goal to where our monthly giving is $18,000 from the people of God. Amen. That make sense? Yeah. Number four, build a team to disciple middle school and high school youth. Right now, we don't have anything. And God's given us some teenagers that He loves and we need to love and we need to invest in. What does it come down to? It comes down to people saying, I'll serve in that way. It doesn't happen without people serving. It doesn't happen without leadership. It's people say, you know what? I'll use my gifts and talents to pour into teenagers because I know Jesus loves them and I love them too. And I want them to grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. We need to build a team. Number five, do an extreme makeover of our campus along Fair Oaks Boulevard. Have you seen what's happening out here?
Yep.
It's going to look really cool. The street's going to be all new. There's going to be landscaping. And then you look at our buildings and you go, what? Wah, wah, right? We need to invest some money in the frontage there and what it looks like. And there's some safety issues for our kids' ministries. And there's some just appearance-wise. You know how many people drive down Fair Oaks Boulevard any given day? Do you know how many people I've had tell me, oh, is there a church meeting there? Oh, I didn't know there was anybody there yet anymore. We need to invest some resources and some design, intentional goals of saying, here, we want the community to know there's life here. We want the community to see that there's a playground, that there's kids, and we're loving on kids, and there's cars in the parking lot, and there's life in that church. And so we need to invest, and I've set this goal for us to move towards together, that we would do an extreme makeover, if you will, that's a borrowed phrase, but that we would redo a revamping of our Fair Oaks Boulevard corridor and our presence on, again, it's a gift from God. It is, where He's put us. He's put us, it's been an 86-year journey. Started in 1930, and here it is, 2087-year journey. And God's put us here. You know what this property's worth? Now, yeah, it's like it'd be crazy to try to buy that now. Well, you know, we have no mortgage. It's paid off. God's done that. God's done that through the giving of His people. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with our presence here in Carmichael? Number six, create an outdoor family gathering courtyard. You know what I'm talking about? This space out here. We've had people meet. We've had a team. We're in the process of that, of designing basically another meeting space, a building without walls, if you will, with the surface and lighting and shading and an outdoor baptismal area, an outdoor concert area, and a gathering place. We live in California. 11 months, 10 months out of the year, we can meet outside if we wanted to. And we want to invest in that. We want to create a space that God can use. Because remember, one of our investments is to design every aspect of this campus to draw people to Jesus. How cool would it be for people to be driving down Fair Oaks Boulevard and see a baptismal going on out here?
Yeah.
Or drive by and hear a concert with praises of Jesus going out through the air? Or just a group of people drinking coffee or eating tri-tip, Andy out there cooking tri-tip, and we're all just fellowshipping together. That's goal number 11, Tri-tip every Sunday. How great it would be. Number seven. We had this goal last year. We made a little bit of progress, but there's so much room for growth. Make contact with every household in our neighborhood. Defining our neighborhood by San Juan School District has a map for Carmichael Elementary, the neighborhood that feeds it. That's what I have hanging in my office. And that's what I'm defining it for this goal is our neighborhood. How do we, in some way, to make contact with every household within that neighborhood that we're right in the middle of, just as Carmichael Elementary School is? I want to make contact with every household in some way this year. Number eight, encourage and empower everyone to invite three people to a Sunday morning service. Some of us, that's hard, isn't it? It really is hard, but it's doable. There are people in your life that need to see Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been sharing your faith with them. They need to see the community of God. They need to see the love and the grace and the mercy of God in a community. No? Boy, every person that walks in that door, whether we invite them or not, every person that walks through that door needs to get a taste of the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the grace and the mercy that's been poured into our lives. Or shame on us for not reflecting what God has given to us. We can do this. Invite three people. Number nine, offer e-groups on Sunday mornings in all four focuses. The four focuses being these up there. We have Moms Connect on Tuesday night. What kind of group is that? That is an encourage group. Yes, it is a moms group, but it is an encourage group, encouraging moms. We have Encore once a month on Wednesday. What kind of group is that? It's an empower group because it's about identity. And we want old people like me to know that we have a place in the church. Amen? Come to Momentum. There's a breakout called A Call for Old People to Rise Up. And I'm teaching it with Sherry. We're going to teach that. You laugh, but I'm serious. A Call for Old People to Rise Up. We're gonna find our place in the local church. Okay, calm down. Did you take your medicine today? So be careful. Okay, good. So we want to offer e-groups on Sunday mornings in all four of these focuses, engage groups, equipping groups that will cause us to go deep and put down roots, empower groups that will help us understand our identity in Christ, and encourage groups. But how are we going to do that on Sunday morning? Well, you see the last goal? The last goal there, we want to launch a second service to help us grow family strong in 2017. And I've set a goal of 250 people that we would grow family strong. There is strength in numbers. Now, it's not numbers for the sake of numbers, but I'm convinced that God wants us to be fruitful. And I'm convinced that the gospel that saved me, that transformed me and regenerated me, is still powerful today and can save and rescue and transform the people that God's placed in my life. How about you? Do you believe that? Do you believe the gospel is still powerful enough to set people free from sin? Then there should be fruit. There should be fruit. And we want to see that fruit. We want to partner with God to make sure we're on the same page with Him, going the same direction, so that we grow wide and we grow deep. And so that last goal, launch a second service in 2017. Wow. That's something we've been dreaming about for a long time, but that's a big thing. That's a big deal. If you look on the back of the page, I'm going to touch on these real quick. Don said something earlier. It's being recorded, so if you want to go back and watch this, it'll be on the website. But if you want to talk one-on-one with any of the leaders about any of these things, we love talking about this stuff. We're excited about these things. Believe it or not, there's people that are excited about money. They're excited about the numbers and the giving. Michael, he's got a disease. He's super excited about this stuff. And he's like, yeah, and he just, am I wrong? No, it's right. So you want to talk about the finances. You want to talk about what are we doing with our resources? Grab one of the leaders, not just tonight, but through any time. Buy them a cup of coffee. Buy me a Jamba Juice, and you got me for an hour. You know, just engage your leadership and talk about these things, because we're covering a lot of things tonight, aren't we? We're covering a lot. So if you look at that back page, here's the question I asked. How do two services help us become family strong? I think there's more than three reasons, but here's the ones that really tug on my heart, that have an impact on me. Number one, we engage more of our community with the Father's story. When you cast a bigger net, you draw more people to Jesus. We're thinking of 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. That's not set, but we're thinking of that as a possibility. We have these two services in the morning, and people will come to one of those two services. We can engage more of our community with the Father's story. Sunday morning is not everything, but I believe Sunday morning is significant in the heart of God when His family gets together purposely to worship Him, to teach His word, to grow, and to be the body of Christ. I believe that's deeply significant to God. And so it's a precious moment in the course of the week where we come together, and the people that we're seeking to draw to Jesus can see that community. They can see the heart of God. We engage more of our community with the Father's story. Number two, we maximize our investment in discipling our children and youth. What two services on a Sunday morning does is it opens the door for us to pour deeply into our kids and to open the door for those that are passionate about serving children and youth. They can do this every week. See, right now you can't do it every week because you need to be fed too. You need fellowship. You can't be in the treehouse every Sunday. We won't allow that because we care about you. We care about your growth as a disciple. So you need to be fed. You need to have the fellowship of God's people. You need to be involved in worship. And what this does is it opens the door for us to do that. We can have ministry on Sunday morning where people can be fed every week, and they can also be pouring their passion and their gifts into our kids and into our young people. I got one cool and a half. So we can pour more we can maximize our investment in discipling our children and our youth. Come on, church. I'm serious. This is a big thing to me. This is big to the heart of God that we disciple our children and our youth. Our culture is not going to back away from trying to steal our children. So neither can we. We have to maximize the investment that we put into our children and our youth. They need to love Jesus. They need to know who Jesus is. They need to know who he says they are to him. Right? And this opens the door for us to do that. I feel very strongly about this part of it. And then thirdly, real quickly, we impact more people with Engage, Empower, Equip, and Encourage using our e-groups on Sunday mornings. We will still have e-groups throughout the week, but the reality is scheduling-wise, some people find it very difficult, children and sports and different things, to come out on a Tuesday night or come out. I don't know, Jeff's e-group was Saturday at what time? So I'm never coming to an e-group on Saturday at 6:30. You're just not going to reach me on Saturday morning, even if there is waffles. Some you will. But if we can offer e-groups on Sunday mornings where people can come and be fed and be a part of the fellowship in the community and they can go deep, they can be encouraged, they can be engaged, they can be empowered, it allows us to make disciples for Jesus so that we can become family strong. Now, below that, I'm wrapping up with this. Below that, there's a lot of information. I wanted you to have this because what that is that's a timeline because I want you to know that we've been thinking about this for a long time. We have a target date of October 15th. If you look on the Family Strong roadmap, you'll see there's two messages on the 1st and the 8th of October, and those two messages are intentional about engagement. Because before Jesus in Matthew 28 said, go make disciples, you read Matthew 10 this week, and what you'll find is Jesus sending out his disciples two by two. They're going out, or he's sending them out. I don't remember if they're two by two in that setting, but he's sending them out, and he's saying, hey, when you go out, don't do this, do that. Watch out for this. This is going to happen. Don't worry about that. And he gives them the rules for engagement so that when he sends them out in Matthew 28, that was no surprise to them. They knew exactly what it would look like because he'd already told them. So we're going to spend a couple of weeks as a church family. What does it look like for us to engage our community? What does it look like for us to be a church to be ready to love, to receive, to love our community? And so we've set this target date of October 15th. But I want you to see the timeline. I want you to see some of the steps that we want to walk through together as a church family. We're looking very intentionally at this. And what is it going to take? How's it going to affect us? How's it going to affect those who are serving? How's it going to affect our finances? How's it going to affect our lives and our schedule on Sunday? So I invite you to walk through that. You walk through that timeline. You know what you might find as you go through it? You might find, wow, this is missing. Well, guess what? I would love to know that now rather than October 14th. That, well, didn't you guys think about this or didn't we plan for this? You'll notice by that timeline that a lot of you are involved in this journey. A lot of you are involved in what this is going to look like and what is it going to take. Those of you that are serving and investing already, you're a part of this journey of what does it look like for us to take this step in October, to cast this bigger net, to invest intentionally in discipling our children and our young people, to be able to disciple our church family with Engage, Empower, Equip, and Encourage groups on Sunday mornings. Will you walk through that? And then will you engage it? Will you engage the leadership? Engage me? Engage? Say, hey, I want to talk about this. What is this going to look like? Because right now, this is, to me, is fun. This part, some of you are like, what, two services? To me, this is fun because this is the dreaming. We're dreaming and we're just imagining what God could do. If we step up to the plate and say, okay, God, this is our heart. We believe this is your heart. Is this where you're leading us? Then let's go. Let's have some smiles. Is God big? You know, some of us will look at this and go, oh. Don't look at this and go, oh. Look at him and go, whoa. Then with that perspective, come back and look at this and go, ah, easy peasy. Anybody say that anymore? Easy peasy? Is that, do you guys even know what that means? You do? The old people all know easy peasy? So you see the timeline there that we're going to walk through. So again, engage that. We'll take this journey together.